This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
The Victorian AIDS Council Gaming's Health Centre presents Well, Well, Well on Joy, the show that's all about sex, health and well-being.
Joy, Joy, Joy.
Hello everyone and welcome to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. We do this gig live every single week on Tuesdays at this time. And today for you, direct from the studio, Murray.
Jack.
Hello, what an introduction.
We are live.
He was building up, we're live, live.
I know, live, live. So how are we today?
Well, not pretty good really. I had a weekend away in Sydney, sort of escaped, ran away to Sydney for a bit of time out from Melbourne. Very nice time, caught up with a few people, a few friends, and that was good. But emergency dental surgery this morning, so if I start to lisp or dribble, please tell me, Carlos and Murray. And does it look fat? Does my lip look fat?
No, you look great. Okay. You look stunning. Okay. And I've just returned back from Mexico. Oh. I just felt like I needed to trump Jack.
You would.
And I did.
You did. You did.
That's why we hate you.
But also, look, we've got a new listener tuning in today, Steve. Welcome aboard, Steve. We hope you tune in again.
Hmm. Listen, at Well, 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 we talk about topics that relate to the GLBTR community. We are all about sex, health, and well-being. And on today's show, we have a very special guest, Peter Waples-Crow from the Victorian Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Organisation, commonly known or referred to as VACCHO, and we'll be talking about the HIV epidemic in the Aboriginal community.
And before I tell you a little bit more of the show, I will have to thank Gasman for this morning show.
What a smooth voice Gasman has.
Smooth operator.
It's always a good show, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
So today's show is one of a series that we're producing around HIV/AIDS, What Your Government Can Do, which is a document that Victorian AIDS Council and Living Positive Victoria put together. And it's around 10 specific issues when it comes to HIV, the HIV epidemic. And it gives some actions and some recommendations to the new-to-be government of Victoria to be elected at the end of this month.
That's right, Carlos. And every week we're focusing on one of those key election platforms and policy areas. And you can get a copy of this document from our website if you wish. That's www.vac.org.
Why are you looking at me? You've worked at the organisation for about 100 years.
No, but we changed our address. So
it's www.vac.org.au.
That's correct. And also copies can be found at various locations around the VAC locations and here at Joy 94.9, of course.
Also at Living Positive Victoria, I believe.
Of course, yeah.
So, it's going to be an interesting conversation, discussion, if you want. John, how can people actually tune in and participate?
Well, we love to hear from you, and if you can send us a message, we'd even like you better. You can get involved with our conversation on sex, health and well-being. So please feel free to do so via our Facebook page, facebook.com/wellwellwell, Joy. And while you're there, you can like us, of course. We like being liked. Or you can send us... you can ring us actually on 1300 JOY 949, or send us an email, which is onair@joy.org.au, or SMS 0427 JOY 949, or if that's not enough, you can even tweet us at
it's too much
at well 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 joy. So we'd love to hear from you.
Look, as Tex will say, a plethora.
But also we'd like to hear from people. If there's a subject you'd like to cover in future shows, give us a call, give us a hoy, and we'll try to factor that into our planning schedule.
True, exactly. Look, the next song that we have, it's, you might remember this one.
I certainly do. Well, I do because I was...
like wearing fishnet stockings?
Well, but I remember it from 1989 and takes me back to my late 80s era, which was quite a while ago, of course. Mm-hmm. But it's a great one.
Yeah. So it was Australian number one for 7 weeks. November to December in 1989. How about that? Yeah. What were you doing in 1989, Murray?
You're probably still in school, Murray.
I was.
you,
I hadn't even reached double digits.
Oh, Murray, I don't want to hear about it. I had reached double digits, and I had blonde hair, not stress blonde hair, not right. silver hair.
So this is If I Could Turn Back Time by Cher.
And I wish I could.
Hmm. You're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Now, before we get stuck into a conversation and have a chat with Peter, our special guest today, can somebody in the room tell me what December 1st is?
That's a hard one, but it's a hardcore. One. But it could be something to do with World AIDS Day, I guess, Murray.
Ding, ding, ding.
Mm. Yes.
Yes. The Victorian AIDS Council, it's the biggest day on our calendar each year, and we are looking for an army of volunteers to help us support the activities that we'll be running across World AIDS Day. We actually got two street appeals that we'll be doing on Friday the 28th and December the 1st across Melbourne and train stations, as well as some activities in Federation Square. If you want to get involved, you can contact you can go to VAC's website, vac.org.au, or alternatively send an email through to worldaidsday.com or .org.
That org.
Yeah, .org.
You can tell we've just changed our signature, can't you?
Right. Yeah, and the street appeal is back, which is great.
Yeah, it's great.
I did it. I've done it a couple of times already, and it's a really good vibe around the city.
Mm. Well, last year's World AIDS Day was on Sunday, as most people are aware, so this year it's on a Monday, so it gives us the opportunity to do a street appeal.
And there's lots and lots of activities across Melbourne, various organisations, Living Positive Victoria, Straight Arrows, Positive Women, a whole range of community-based and peer-based organisations who are getting involved and spreading the word and raising awareness.
Well, we've had volunteers in almost every day making up our ribbons, and they're all ready to go and to be distributed to people.
Yeah.
And also you can host a red dinner and look for the coffee cups with the red ribbon on them at your cafe.
We've got about, I think, 30 participating cafes across Melbourne that will be distributing VAC World AIDS Day coffee cups instead of their normal coffee cups. So if you see a lot of people walking around with a coffee cup, make sure you ask them where they got it from.
And we'd like to see many, many of those coffee cups walking around the streets.
Alarm was saying there's over 100,000 coffee cups that will be going out.
That's a lot.
It's huge.
Well, all the information is up on vac.org.au.
Correct.
Thank you, Carlos.
So, yes, have a look. And Red Dinners is a great event to actually get involved in. This is Well, 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 Enjoy 94.9. Today we have Peter Whipples from Victorian Aboriginal Community Control Health Organisation, VACCHO. That's a mouthful.
Yeah, that's how it'll
be. So, hello, Peter. Welcome to Well, Well, Well.
Just do a bit of a clap for Peter.
Yeah, g'day, Peter.
And can I, just as a Koori fellow, acknowledge the traditional owners of the land we're meeting on today?
Of course.
The Kulin Nations, and more specifically, the Wurundjeri and the Boonwurrung people. And pay my respects to all our Aboriginal listeners and to all you out there.
Thanks.
That's great. Now,
look, before we start talking about the HIV epidemic in the Aboriginal community here in Victoria, Peter, can you please tell us a little bit about VACCHO as an organisation, what it is and how long it's been running for?
Yeah, I think, sometimes people don't know there's a whole Aboriginal community-controlled health sector out in Victoria and right across the country. And we've been running since 1996. And VACCHO represents, it's a peak body on Aboriginal health, and we represent 28 members across Victoria. And each of those memberships need to have a component of health in their... they're sort of like, we call them cooperatives, so they have a lot of different arms. Mm. They might have housing, youth, cultural services and stuff like that. But they need to have an arm of health, and then they become a member of VACCHO. So we're there to support them and really build their capacity to deliver services then to their local community. Mm. And, you know, we've got a lot of different services at VACCHO that does that, but I work in sexual health and bloodborne viruses. So.
Yeah. And I must say, I've been down to VACCHO, and it's a very impressive setup. It's terrific.
Yeah, we've moved, probably been there maybe 2 years, and it's great now because we're also a registered training agency, and we train... They're unique to our health services, our Aboriginal health workers. They're like liaison people between the community and then the medical services. We also have, we work with a lot of the workforce groups like hospital liaison officers and stuff like that.
So, how many staff down at VACCHO?
I think it's around 80 or 70 to 80 now. So,
wow.
Yeah, I know, it's pretty
big.
Not everyone's full time, yeah, but yeah, it is a big place. We've only secured that recently, and I think we've.
Place?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, only in the past 2 years. So it's, yeah, it's given us a lot of bigger identity. And, yeah.
It's very impressive. Now, Peter, our paths crossed from time to time over the more recent years, I suppose I should say. But can you just tell us something about yourself? Like, how did you get started working in the HIV sector, and how long have you been at VACHO, and what's your exact position there?
Okay. Well, HIV has been entangled in my life for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I worked... I grew up in Wollongong, so in the end, I think around that time of Sherry, I was probably working at the... AIDS Council of New South Wales as a beat outreach worker.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Take me back.
Yeah, remember the beat outreach workers.
Yep.
I really liked that job as well. And then I started to work with people who inject drugs, so mm-hmm. with needle and syringe programs, first in Wollongong and then later in around the Redfern community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, and that was probably in the 90s. So, yeah, I've had a long history. I've been at VACHO over 10 years, but not always in sexual health. But I've always done hepatitis, viral hepatitis, because mm-hmm. I think, yeah, with all my lived experience, that's where it's been. I've been in the sexual health and bloodborne virus unit for about 6 years, and I'm sort of team leader or senior worker in that. So, but we're only a small unit.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
Now, Murray, you also have linked into the Indigenous community too, haven't you?
Yeah, so, I used to work at the Victorian Aboriginal Health Service.
And what's the cross-link between VACHO and...
It would be one of your members.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the Victorian Aboriginal Health Service is a standalone health service, and it services metropolitan Melbourne, and half the Victorian population of Aboriginal people live in metro Melbourne. So it's why I was... And it's... It came about in 1972 out of the self-determination movement. So, 73. First was Redfern, 72. Second was VARS in Australia. So it's got a really long political history and represents a lot of stuff for Aboriginal people as well.
And it goes back to those heady days, the Whitlam era. The infamous sort of and well-known times of Whitlam putting sand into the earth, into the hands of the Aboriginal elder. And
In Northern Territory. Mm. I think it was a time... when, as a people, we started to get heard and seen and our issues became... it was like the mainstream wasn't doing its best with our people. So it's sort of like Aboriginal health in Aboriginal hands and self-determination and being listened to. So
It's important.
Yeah, it's really important.
Give a voice to the sentiments and the injustices over the years as well.
So really VACHO's come out of that too. So they're political places. And I think in urban... They're places more... They're broader than just a GP or a doctor.
Yeah.
They're places of connection for a lot of us.
Absolutely.
Urban mob as well. Yeah.
You're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and we're speaking with Peter Waples-Crow.
Yep.
And, sorry, we just stumble over that sometimes. Rhymes
no,
with
no,
maples. Sorry, Peter. And we've got another song coming up. We were going to have Smile by Lily Allen, and I got excited thinking it was the old Charlie Chaplin version, but it wasn't, so we've changed it because I don't know that one. But we've got a better song.
Let's see if you know the next one.
I don't know some of these songs, I tell you. But this one's a local girl, a girl from Adelaide, South Australian local girl who's gone global. Local girl gone global. See ya. And we're listening to Burn the Pages.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. Today we're talking to Peter from the Victorian Aboriginal Community Control Health Organisation, VACHO. So Peter, now let's start with an overview of how the HIV epidemic within the Aboriginal community is. Can
where
you describe?
Where we're up to with it.
Yeah.
I just say this year's been a big year with the AIDS conference coming to Melbourne, and we worked on the Indigenous part of the Global Village, you know, my team. Mm. And before that, we had a pre-conference in Sydney for all... It was an international one. Yeah, so what we released from that was an EORA action plan, and EORA is the local mob in Sydney. So it sort of gives a guide. With HIV, it's on par with the non-Indigenous community, and there's not many diseases that are, so... But it actually, the epidemic looks a bit differently. I'll just read out some of our stuff. Like, in 2014, we think it's unacceptable that STI rates are up between 6 and 35 times higher in Indigenous Australians than non-Indigenous Australians. In the last 10 years, and this is what we need to note, the portion of newly diagnosed HIV attributable to injecting drugs is 4 times higher in Indigenous Australians.
Substantial.
Yeah, it is substantial. It's something we all have to look at. And that crossover group between gay men and gay men who inject drugs, we need to look at that. And in Indigenous women, it's 4 times higher. So, again, a different, slightly different epidemic. We're incarcerated at much higher rates, and there's no harm reduction strategies in prisons, if we know that. That contributes to our health. And there's a very much a lack of data around HIV in the Aboriginal community. And I could go into that, but I don't know. No, I don't have much time. But it's about how we identify and asking that question of whether someone's Aboriginal or not and what we look like, you know, away from stereotypes. We were talking about that, weren't we?
Yeah.
That we come in various guises. And they're all valid. So, but we have to live up to stereotypes. So if we had better data, we might be able to see what's happening. So,
And change some attitudes.
I think, you know, my role's always been to try to change attitudes too. But I'm not here to try to define myself either to everyone or justify it, what that is.
Well, it's good that you don't feel the need to do it all the time because people, there are prejudices, there is discrimination, there are sort of multi-layered issues around here. You're on Joy 94.9 and you're chatting with Carlos, Murray and Jack and Peter from VATCHO.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. Today we're speaking with Peter from VATCHO. If you want to get involved in the conversation, you can SMS us on 0427JOY949 or email us onair@joy.org.au. Hey, Peter, I was wondering if you could explain the current programs addressing sexual health, including HIV and STIs in the Aboriginal community.
Okay. I work in, at VATCHO, the Sexual Health and Bloodborne Virus Unit, and it's our role to try to build the capacity of the membership, like we just talked about. So, and we cover all the STIs, and the highest ones are, we're not specifically about HIV, but we're a broad spectrum. And really, the big issues are chlamydia in young people, and then HCV, you know, hepatitis C, really is another thing that's at a much higher in the Aboriginal community. And, you know, we're evidence based practice, so we use that. And there's only two of us in the team now, but we've had three, but now there's two, myself and Kat Byron, to do that role. There is a STI and BBV nurse at VARS, Sandra Gregson, so that's really good.
Yes, Sandra,
You know Sandra? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, anyone, go to Sandra if you need some help. She's a really good stick. She's a good old friend.
And you know Murray, do you?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I work with her.
But it's still not a lot of people for such important health issues.
There's no workers.
For a marginalised community.
And Wallen Perry got some money under Close and Gap. They're called Wallen Perry, but they're at Melbourne Sexual Health Centre. But they've got 1 year left of their funding, and they aim at young people. So we don't have any specific workers. New South Wales have Aboriginal sexual health workers, and so does Queensland. So maybe that's part of what we need to have here.
But this is a state-funded initiative?
Ours is Commonwealth-funded, actually. So I think Sandra's division is state-funded.
Okay.
So we need more workers and more.
Well, absolutely. So, now, from those programs you do run around STIs, has there been anything particular that we've learnt from those programs? Any evaluations or any issues that we need to look at and address more fully?
We've just completed what we call a Goanna survey of young Aboriginal people, 16 to 29. And out of that there was actually quite a high knowledge. We asked 12 knowledge questions in that. So, you know, young Aboriginal people had quite a high knowledge across most STIs and BBVs.
Like, well, that's good.
Out of 12 was not like 9. That was across the whole country.
Impressive.
That's
really
impressive.
I think that could even be better than the local community, really, because we have a lot of people come in and we talk to them about STIs or HIV and what does that mean, what's AIDS mean. They don't have a clue.
What do you attribute to that?
I like to think that been a sustained, you know, effort.
You've done the groundwork.
Yeah, we keep the groundwork and we keep it on the agenda in Victoria. And I know all the other affiliates across the state are really hardworking as well. And I think the community accept that it's really important, STIs and bloodborne viruses.
And are ready to talk about
it.
It's really
about
important.
You know, part of ours is breaking down some of that shame. But when that result come back, I felt really proud of that we're getting messages out that young people, young Aboriginal people, do understand this stuff. You know, the worst answer question were around Hep B, which is a vaccination now since 2000 for young people, and the ongoing effects of chlamydia. So yeah, a lot of people know the common messages, and I'd attribute that to all of our efforts, you know, in the sector. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate, you know, what VAC's done, what Melbourne Sexual Health done, what's the Centre for Rural Sexual Health done, Family Planning Victoria. We've always worked in partnerships because we've realised we can't do it on our own in the Aboriginal community. And most of the partner orgs, mainstream partner orgs, have Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people as a priority group for this area, because the stats are alarming.
Yeah.
So collaboration is the key, isn't it?
Yep. And options for Aboriginal people, you know, like to get services and treatments, because some of this stuff does come with stigma, which we're probably going to talk about later.
Wow, multi-layered.
Yeah.
So within the work that we all do in the HIV sector and STIs, it is important to actually relate and identify with the community or with the group that you're trying to talk to. Being a man who have sex with men within the Aboriginal community, what is the perception that the Aboriginal community has? I'm only asking, and I'm going to be controversial here, just because of the comments that Anthony Mundine, the boxer, did about the Indigenous culture and homosexuality do not mix.
Well, you can see. I mean, we're a varied community, and there are homosexual Aboriginal people. That's just the way it is. There's still homophobia out there, but things have changed. Like the rest of society, I think it's, you know, we've gained more acceptance. In my time in the Aboriginal community, you know, there was a lot more homophobia. People, I think, have come to accept that we're part of the community as well. I think it's really hard. You know, we often say, what was it like before colonisation? But we didn't write our own story. You know, that was written by Christian missionaries and anthropologists.
Yeah.
And, you know, did they really want to write that there was queerness going on?
Mm.
And did they just write it out? You know, because, you know, our communities, whether you're black, white or brindle and gay, have always, you know, had issues with religion, and they're the ones who wrote
it. It always
clashes. We were an oral culture. We didn't have written stuff down. Yeah.
I mean, I was saying in the break earlier, just to echo what you're saying, Peter, is when I worked at VARS, and on my first day, I was really, really nervous about, you know, being able to express your sexuality, because it's part of you. And I couldn't have found a more welcoming bunch. I mean, we had an openly gay CEO when I worked there for many years. People just, it was just nothing. It was no issue, and everyone was just one. So
we're welcoming and accepting.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, we've got Out Black, which is a social group, and it's the longest running gay and lesbian sort of queer group, social group in the whole of the country.
Yeah.
And, you know, the events they run at NAIDOC and are the most popular events of the whole week.
Yeah.
So it shows you, and it's mostly not gay or lesbian people there, but so it's very accepting and people really like it. So I think it's changed a lot.
So, well, guys, next song, it's called Winners by the Pet Shop Boys. You know this one, Jack.
I know the Pet Shop
Boys. I love the
Boys.
Pet Shop Boys.
I'm not... Well, they did a great number with Dusty Springfield, remember? See, that's my link into Pet Shop Boys. And also with Liza Minnelli, I must say.
Mm-hmm. All right. This is Pet Shop Boys. This is Well, Well, Well on 94.9.
Want to learn more about radio or audio editing? We're looking for people to join our team as program audio producers, responsible for podcasting Joy 94.9's diverse range of weekly programs. Get involved, meet new people and learn new skills. Join the biggest community radio contributor of podcasts by volunteering for Joy's program production team. All skill levels welcome, no prior knowledge of audio production required. Training is free for Joy members. Visit volunteer vacancy page at joy.org.au for more info. The Joy 94.9 production team, powering Joy podcast, any show, anytime, online, joy.org.au.
So, Peter, we're talking about perceptions within the Indigenous community. Now, HIV as an illness, as a condition, does it change the way that you engage, or does it influence the perception or the way that gay men in the Aboriginal community engages?
Yeah, That's a big question. But I think in the Aboriginal community, oh, there's still, you know, that Grim Reaper ad from that is still really prevalent. And people, you know, think we should tackle things that way. In, but in our team, we're much more about harm reduction and reducing harms to people, you know, like, and having a realistic attitude. Because all that doom and gloom actually pushes people away from your service. You know, I think, you know, in my time, I have to remember that when I've worked with a contact tracer at Melbourne Sexual Health, the Aboriginal community in Victoria, and especially VARS, wanted, they were the first community to actually really get behind it and wanted to know all about it so they could help promote. So I think we were a bit of leaders, and sometimes that hasn't been written into histories. Like, so they just want to protect their community from this. This is new. Let's do it. So, you know, I'm always astounded by that. And not astounded, I'm just, I think, wow, that's great.
It's been overlooked, though. It should be, that should be told, role, that leadership role.
It's just interesting. It always comes up when I talk to the contact tracer. He just remembers how the community, he had to go there and talk about it. And so it's good. I really took it up. I think perceptions of it, I mean, I think there's other things like racism in the gay community. We've talked about that. You know, that community can come from a white middle class angle, and you know, people's cultural backgrounds not acknowledged. It's just that we're all gay. That's, we're all the same, and often we're not.
Yeah.
I think there's still perceptions out there, because I've worked a lot with people living with hepatitis C, and they equate, like, having that to having AIDS. So yeah, it's still seen as a bit of a negative. And there's a lot of stigma around that because it's tied to injecting drug use. So there's still stigma out there.
So just speaking about stigma, what about sort of the cultural background influence on stigma and discrimination for people living with HIV, or Aboriginal people living with HIV?
Again, I think that's, sometimes Aboriginal gay men, like, I think in urban centres, can access, we're gay men as well as being Aboriginal, so we can access a lot of the media, and, you know, the gay media is, we're quite well informed about HIV and stuff like that. I think, you know, we need options for people to go and get tested. Sometimes you don't want to go to the Aboriginal services because it might be your relatives or your aunties or uncles, because that's the nature of some of our services. So, yeah, and I was going to talk about that later, but there's, you know, Pronto. I think there's quite a few Aboriginal people going there.
It's a good option. Pronto is the rapid testing site in Fitzroy.
Yeah, and it's an old Aboriginal suburb, Fitzroy, really. It's not anymore because it's been gentrified and it's hipsterville, but, everyone's moved north. I think that's sort of some of the stigma. And I think, you know, the gay community has to accept that we're very diverse as well, and, you know, we just want to be recognised for our culture as well.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and that was Teardrops by Womack and Womack, and it reached number 2 on the Australian charts in February 1989. Must be, is this the hits from the 80s or something today?
It was a busy year, 89.
It was.
Now, we're talking to Peter from VATCHO. Peter, there are two major actions in the document entitled HIV/AIDS, What Your Government Can Do, which is a platform for our next for the next elected Victorian government on November 29th, the election. And that deals on effectively dealing with the HIV epidemic in Victoria. Now, the 2 points on the platform document are, one, consult the Aboriginal community to establish a proper and effective strategy, and also to fund, a commitment to fund, to implement that strategy. Would you agree that those two recommendations, with those two recommendations, and what would you like to see happening after the next state election?
I guess what I've talked about today is the lack of, you know, workers in the sector.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Even if they were more generally sexual health workers that would look after HIV, because they are tied together, and in our community, sexual health and bloodborne viruses, workers tend to do all the work together. So, yeah, I agree with that. I think, you know, there's a project happening with VAC, a 12-month project, just a part-time position that will look at Aboriginal. It'll be an Indigenous position, so that's really good.
Yeah, it's great.
And I think their role will be really to consult widely on what some of the strategies we need to do. And, you know, we could always use new funding under from the Victorian, you know, local community, because we don't, ours is funded more federally, so that's, I'd like them to, you know, we know this issue, and maybe look at some of the stuff around injecting drug use and some stuff that leads to our mob taking more risks, and we're talking about that in the song, you know, like intergenerational trauma, trying to deal with that, you know, feeling disenfranchised, and a lot of to do with poverty as well, you know, like, yeah, so, and access to services, and not just Aboriginal services, but services that make Aboriginal people feel okay to come into mainstream service, you know, that.
Yeah, so it's all very well to say about creating a strategy and funding that strategy, but there's lots of, it's multi-layered and complex, really, because there's gaps in funding, there's gaps in service provision, there's gaps in positions within the Indigenous health community.
As well as gaps in knowledge.
Yeah. So it's a long road.
Yeah, it is a long road, you know. But we've come a fair way, and we just need commitment from the government to, you know, to tackle some of these issues.
Yeah. Love your work, Peter. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
And hey, time has flown.
Where does the hour go?
When you're having so much fun.
Exactly.
Peter, you've been wonderful. Thank you so much for coming to the show.
Champion. Let's do a little clap for Peter.
Yes.
And Peter, if somebody wants to ask some questions or follow up some aspects of Aboriginal health, how do they contact you and your
service? I'm the only Peter at Vacho, so that's easy. And our number's 94119411. You know,
94119411.
Yeah, I'll just look up Victorian Aboriginal Community Control on the website.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we'll post a link to it on our
Facebook
page as well. Yep.
All good. So, Pete, thanks. It's terrific and informative. And, well, you have to come back. Come back after the election to see how things play out.
Indeed. Thank you for joining us today. This is Carlo, Jack and Murray.
Yes,
it is. And just a reminder for anyone that's out there, World AIDS Day is coming. Becky's looking for volunteers to help us with a range of activities. Just log on to our website, back.org.au, and all the information will be listed on there. It's going to be a lot of fun. And you get a T-shirt and pizza.
And it's a cool T-shirt as well.
It's a cool T-shirt.
So, as I was saying before you interrupt me, Jack, Carlos, Murray, Peter here with us, we're part of the Well, Well, Well team, and you're listening to Joy 94.9, and we come all Tuesdays at midday.
Cheers.
Well, 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 bringing you all the up-to-date information on sexual health and well-being. Brought to you by the Victorian AIDS Council, Gay Men's Health Centre, on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.